We're gonna talk about the Cardinals all night long.
Good evening. Welcome to a special edition of Meet Me at Mutual. We have our regular show from Friday still up with Kyle Reese, if you haven't listened to that. We'll have another regular show later in the week. But right now, I wanted to take some time and start looking at the teams that are also in the NL Central. I've done a series called Playing Pepper over the last 15 years, and I didn't get around to doing it this year. So I've grabbed some of those people that have written for that series in the past and brought them in to talk about their teams. And we're starting out with the Brewers, and I've got Jack Stern with me. You'll find him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. And Jack, before we get into the Brewers, tell everybody a little bit about where you write and how long you've been doing this.
So I actually just recently made the switch. I was writing for Brew Crew Ball for the last 5 years, part of the SB Nation umbrella of websites for sports teams. But a couple weeks ago, I made the switch. I'm writing for BrewerFanatic.com now. So that's where you can find all of my work. I've got a couple pieces that I've already put up with them and got some exciting stuff on the horizon. So you can find all my work there.
Definitely worth checking out. So let's get into the Brewers of 2024. And to do that, let's talk about the offseason that was coming into this spring. Obviously, the big news were a couple of losses, but Brewers made some moves as well. So I guess the question for me is, are they going for it this year, or are they looking ahead to 2025 and beyond?
So that's been a big question for a lot of people who are following this team. And the answer is really that it's been both. They're trying to do both of those things at the same time. They're trying to win in 2024, but they're also trying to really build a core of players that they can keep around for a long time to keep looking forward to. The goal for the Brewers is always to win every single year if they can. And that's what they tried to do again this year with the offseason moves. So like you alluded to, they did lose some pieces from last year. And if I had to guess, they're probably not going to match 2023's win total. But I do still think this is a team that is capable of making some noise in the NL Central, capable of getting into the postseason. And the Brewers certainly feel that way too. I think it's more than anything just a different looking roster than what they've had the past couple of years in a few different ways. And that's a little bit by design. It was just kind of the product of this counter-building approach they have, where if they have guys on expiring contracts, they're open to moving them to bring in some long-term talent. They're really just constantly working with this mix of additions and subtractions, and that's going to be true for every team, but it's even more true for the Brewers because they will sometimes make that conscious choice to subtract certain players with the hope of bringing in some long-term value. So really, they're trying to compete both now and long-term.
Which is a difficult balancing act, of course, to do. So, at least from the outside looking in, the last few years, pitching has been the strong suit of the Brewers. Now, Corbin Burnes is gone. Brandon Woodruff out for, I assume, at least most, if not all, the year. Does that still hold true, or is it starting to shift, the focus starting to shift maybe to the offense?
I think that what you're going to see this year from this Brewers team compared to past ones is it's going to be a lot more balanced. I don't think they're going to be living in these areas of extremes like they have the past few years, where it's top-tier pitching, top-tier defense, and then bottom-tier hitting. That's really what they have been working with for the past several years. But now it's going to be a little bit more evened out. I think the pitching is going to take a little bit of a step back just based on the arms that they have lost in that rotation. It's going to be a much different picture and a much different strategy for how they're going to be able to piece together innings and get outs this year. I think they'll still be able to do that at a very solid rate. I don't think it's going to become a weakness for them, but it's definitely not top tier pitching like it had been in the past. Meanwhile, on the offensive side of the ball, I think they're going to be a lot closer to average in that regard too. This has been a lineup that was among one of the worst in baseball in 2023, but Matt Arnold, the general manager, did a really nice job of adding power to that lineup. That's really something that they were missing last year, and it really hurt them, the fact that they did not have guys who could hit for extra bases. Reese Hoskins is now plugged into the middle of that lineup, either at first base or DH or both, depending on how they choose to utilize him. Gary Sanchez is in that mix as well after the Brewers signed him to a one-year deal. even some smaller transactions that the Brewers made, getting guys like Jake Bowers and Oliver Dunn, some post-hype prospect-type guys who have some big raw power. So hopefully that comes out in the big leagues this year. That would help them out too. But I think it's really just going to be a much more balanced team. They're still going to be very, very good defensively. But in terms of the pitching versus the offense, I think they're going to get a lot closer to meeting in the middle than they had the last few seasons.
And of course, the bullpen is a big key as well. And, you know, obviously, Cardinal fans know a lot about Devin Williams. What does that look like? I mean, obviously, he's at the back of that. And what fills in behind him?
Yeah, it's going to be a very similar look to what the Brewers were rolling out last year. For the amount of turnover and change that the Brewers had on this roster, the bullpen is the one area of this team that pretty much remained the same throughout the offseason. The Brewers didn't really do a whole lot in terms of significant additions or subtractions. They just made a couple of minor transactions, trading for guys like Taylor Clark from the Kansas City Royals, grabbing Brian Hudson off waivers from the Dodgers after they signed Yamamoto and designated him for assignment. So there's some upside arms in that bullpen who the Brewers took flyers on. But other than that, it's going to be a similar outlook to what we saw last year. Devin Williams anchoring things in the ninth inning. Behind him, you're going to have Abner Uribe is still going to be in that mix. The young rookie who came up last year throws triple digits with that sinker. Really electric arm. He's kind of seen as the future bullpen ace in Milwaukee. Then it's going to be Yoel Piamps and Elvis Peguero, two guys who filled setup roles last year and did a very nice job in those positions. Trevor McGill is a guy who really came on late in the year. Another guy who can throw triple digits. He's almost 7 feet tall, does just a really good job of driving down the mound and attacking you with that velocity and that power curveball that he has. So those are going to be some guys who are getting a lot of innings. Bryce Wilson was kind of the swing man in that bullpen, or the jack of all trades, you might call him, pitching anywhere from long relief to high leverage. He's probably going to fill that role again. So it's going to be a very similar group to what the Brewers had last year, and it should be a very, very good group. They had one of the best bullpens in baseball last year, and they're returning pretty much everyone from that group. So there's a lot of depth in there. Almost to the point where it's a little bit of a question of how are they going to roster all of these guys, because they have so many pitchers in that mix who have really good stuff, and some of them are out of minor league options. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But bullpen should definitely be a strength of this team again this year.
Well, that kind of leads me to one of the questions that I had was, what kind of position battles are you seeing, or are there people looking at this spring? I assume that, you know, kind of that last man in the bullpen is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of guys who are in the mix for that spot, even if you start getting further down that bullpen depth chart. Guys like J.B. Bukauskas, Thiago Vieira, just a couple of guys who also have really good stuff, who didn't really get a lot of innings with the Brewers last year, spent most of the year in the minor leagues, but Vieira's out of options, so he's a guy who, will he crack that roster, or the Brewers going to have to cut ties with him, even though he has that promising stuff? So bullpen is going to be a big position battle for sure, kind of rounding out that bullpen mix. I think in the outfield and at second base, to an extent, there's going to be a little bit of a competition for playing time as well, just because the Brewers have built a lot of depth at those positions as well. And no one has really quite seized the reins at either one of those positions. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there as well.
Craig Counsell obviously was one of the losses that the Brewers had this winter, and it's also very hard to know how much an impact a manager has, both in the clubhouse but also in the tactical side of things. How much will his loss impact the Brewers this year, or will it?
I do think it is going to cost them a couple of wins. I think it's, like you alluded to, very tricky to quantify how much impact a manager has. If I had to kind of guesstimate it off the top of my head, I would say, you know, the very best guys are maybe worth the same amount as just a really solid player. So maybe like, you know, three, maybe four wins. And I would definitely put Counsell as a top tier manager. So I do think losing him is going to cost them a couple of wins. I do think at the same time, everything about the way he managed from a strategic standpoint, I think that's pretty well embedded in the organization. And I think that that's not going to change a whole lot, even with Pat Murphy taking over. I think the clubhouse management is going to be different. You got to let, you know, every manager kind of decide on what his style is going to be and run things the way that he sees fit. Murphy's not just going to be a Counsell clone in that regard. I think that there's a chance that he's going to deploy a somewhat similar strategy on the field in terms of Council, just with how you manage the on-field personnel during a game, just having been there for 8-9 years as Council's bench coach and having seen how he does it. But the clubhouse management might be a little different, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, I think a couple of wins is probably going to be what the difference is there.
I was reading, you know, an article today about Ricky Weeks being an associate manager, which is a term that I have not ever heard of. I mean, you know, we usually hear bench coach. Is there a difference between associate manager and bench coach, and how are the Brewers defining the two roles?
I think that's just meant to be a reflection of how many responsibilities some of these bench coaches are getting now. I think that that's really what that's mainly about, because the Brewers have made it pretty clear that Ricky Weeks is going to play a significant role on this coaching staff. I don't know if that necessarily means, you know, like taking responsibilities away from Murphy or anything like that, but I do think he's going to be a very significant voice in that clubhouse. He started working in a player development role with the Brewers a couple of years ago, and it sounds like the players, from the moment he started that job, just really took well to his style of communication and just his ability to relate with them as an ex-player himself. So it seems like the Brewers are really grooming him for a pretty important role within the organization, whether he ends up, you know, managing in the future or moves back to a player development role or goes front office, whatever they decide to do with him. But the bottom line is, I think the title is meant to reflect that the Brewers really do think Ricky Weeks brings a lot of value to this team in some kind of coaching role. And I think they're going to have him doing a lot of different things in that associate manager role, but he's going to be a very big part of the picture this year and moving forward. And I think that's really what that title is meant to reflect.
And it's, I mean, the Cardinals added this offseason, they've, you know, Daniel Descalzo is the bench coach. Yadier Molina is coming back as some sort of coaching role. It's always kind of nice, at least as fans, to see those kind of players come back and still be part of the organization. I remember Ricky Weeks being there for a long, long time, and I'm sure it's good to have him back in uniform, as it were.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit nostalgic for a lot of fans, just seeing a guy who was in Milwaukee and holding down that second base position for as long as he did. I know it's a little nostalgic for me because I grew up watching Ricky Weeks play second base for the Brewers, and now he's going to be in the dugout in a different capacity. But I think that's just part of what makes him a good fit too. I think he's familiar with the area, familiar with the culture of this organization. You know, the ownership structure has not changed a whole lot since he stopped playing here. It's, you know, it's a different, you know, side of baseball operations, but it's still the same organization, the same owner, the same area, a lot of the same fans, some personnel that's still here from when he was a player. So I think that all just makes him a really good fit for this position. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he fares in that role.
It should be fun. Even if it does make you feel a little bit old to see those kind of players in those roles, doesn't it? Christian Yelich, you know, I know that's kind of the question mark around him still. What are your expectations for him as, you know, he's obviously come off from that MVB heights when he first came over, but how much value does he have to the Brewers?
He's still a very important part of that lineup and of that position player mix. I think really what I was hoping for last year from him was just getting him back to the form that he was in when he was with the Miami Marlins before he joined the Brewers and had those MVP caliber seasons, because really since 2019, the couple seasons he had after that where the production was a lot closer to league average than it was to anything special, a lot of the underlying numbers with the plate discipline and the batted ball data were pretty similar to the numbers that he put up in Miami. So he really had just kind of reverted to that kind of hitter, which was still a very solid bat and a very valuable player in Miami, a borderline all-star. And that's basically what he got back to last year. He ended the season with an OPS a little bit over 800, a 124 OPS plus. He was a 3.5 win player, according to Baseball Reference. So that's pretty much where he was when he was with the Marlins. The defense isn't quite where it used to be, but the bat is pretty much back to that. And I think that's a very realistic expectation for him moving forward to keep putting up those kinds of numbers, so long as he's able to stay healthy and the Brewers are able to manage the back troubles that he's kind of dealt with on and off the past few years. But this is still a guy who has really good plate discipline, makes really smart swing decisions. He can hit the ball hard, hits it on the ground a little bit too much, but when he's going well, he's able to hit line drives to all fields. And I think he did a good job of really just getting back to that. I think he kind of dropped the expectations that he had been holding for himself since those MVP caliber seasons. And I think that really just kind of took a weight off his shoulders and allowed him to just be the hitter that he is most naturally. And I think what we saw when he was with the Marlins and last year with the Brewers, I think that's really just kind of the natural hitter he is. And I think that's something that he should still be able to do moving forward.
Well, I know he always still seems to destroy the Cardinals anytime they face him. So we're perfectly happy if he doesn't get back to that form, I think. So to wrap this up, how do you look at this division? You know, obviously we come at it with our perspective, but when you look at the NL Central, how do you think it shakes out and who's the most, you know, vital competition perhaps to the Brewers?
I think it's really right now just a mix of teams who are solid but not amazing. I just see a lot of teams that kind of profile as, you know, mid to upper 80s win teams. I'd put the Brewers in that mix. I'd put the Cardinals in there, the Cubs, maybe the Reds. I know the Pirates tried to make some moves too. It's plausible that if they have some young guys take a step forward, they could jump into that category as well. So I think it's going to be a lot of up and down in the standings throughout the year, a little bit of a bloodbath to see who wins this division. But right now I would still put Brewers, Cubs, and Cardinals in that order, most likely, in terms of who I think is most likely to end up winning this thing. But no matter what happens, it's going to be very, very close. When people, you know, ask me for what my win projection is for a lot of these teams, I kind of say they're all in like that, like I said, 84 to 88 win range, kind of in that window. Maybe if one of those teams has enough things break right, like if the pitching does really well for the Brewers, some of these younger arms that they have coming up, or if their prospects at the plate take a big step forward in the outfield and really start to lead this offense, then I think you could see that win total creep up a little more. Similar with St. Louis, if some of these veteran arms they signed do a really nice job of stabilizing that rotation and the bats continue to do really well, they could still run away with it. Same for the Cubs. I think that you talk about the value that the Brewers lost from losing Council. The Cubs are going to gain that value from having him in Chicago. I think that he's going to do a much better job of utilizing that roster and putting guys in positions to succeed than David Ross did. So I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I'm going to still say Brewers squeak it out at the end, but it's going to be very close.
Well, and it does feel like a division that, you know, it's going to probably come down in theory to the last week or two. And there's not a safety net of a wild card most likely coming from this division either, especially with as strong as the East and West are. It would be a little bit surprising if anybody was able to do that. So that just adds a little bit to the intrigue, I guess, and how important, even though we play fewer games against each other, how important all those games are.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's going to be a really interesting atmosphere for a lot of those games, especially as we get later into the season, because, you know, I think we're both in agreement on it. It's going to be a tight race. These standings are going to be neck and neck for just about the entirety of this season.
Well, Jack, I appreciate you joining me tonight. It's been fun, and we look forward to seeing how these two teams shake it out the rest of the way.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Enjoyed it.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!